Review Board. We will begin the June 10th meeting of the DRB. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We're conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a public health emergency. We would appreciate your patience as this may be the first DRB meeting done remotely for some. At times, we will mute everyone but those who are speaking. And on your own, please keep your audio on mute when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time you begin your remarks. So I might say, this is Jolene Wolfley, give some remarks. Someone else gives some remarks. It comes back to me wanting to comment. I would say, this is Jolene Wolfley, and give my remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderator, which is myself along with Maggie Gould. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves. We'll start with Water Authority.
Hello, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority.
This is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation.
Dennis Darmijo, Hydrology.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation.
And I'm Jolene Wolfley again, DRB Chair. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for approval of plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I make a motion to suspend the rules as noted.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I second.
Okay, let's do a vote starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for a remote meeting this morning. A note for our applicants. All of your submittals come in through the PLNDRS email. This is the way they get to Angela Gomez, who manages the applications for us. And if you have any resubmittals, make sure you send those in to Ms. Gomez. Those DRB members who approve of your site plan, plat, or infrastructure improvements agreement today will electronically sign those documents following the meeting. And this sometimes can take a day or two to get done. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck will be routing those documents through the DRB members after the meeting. And I want to make a note that this is the fastest way for you to get your approvals. One is to have all of your utility signatures even before you apply. That is the ideal situation. And we want to remind people that applications that do not have the city surveyor signature are not eligible to be heard by the DRB. And so that's an absolute basic requirement on signatures. It is difficult with electronic signing and all the utility agencies, but we're finding that a lot of applicants are getting frustrated because they've gotten approval at DRB and they want us to sign off on their plans. However, without the utility signatures being done, those final signatures can't be given. And just to expedite the way that DRB is currently electronically signing with the Adobe program, we would, if you don't have all your signatures by the time you're approved at DRB, you need to get all of those before you send it in to Mr. Rodenbeck in order to get your DRB signatures, and then I will be the last signer. Okay, so hopefully that's understandable to you because it's important. I know there's been frustration outside of the meetings where people are wanting things signed off, but the applicants are still responsible to be getting the utility signatures. Okay. After you send those off into us through Mr. Rodenbeck for final signing, then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. And another reminder is that site plans need to have the pages all submitted to us, all pages, and those pages need to be sealed by the professional who prepared it and signed in order for them to be acceptable. And final reminder is to include your blue sheet when you submit items for signature that have been delegated. So sometimes there will be delegation and with one or two DRB members, and then those blue sheet items need to be completed before you request your final signatures. Okay, Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes in the agenda?
Yes, for item number 2, agent has requested deferral to June 24th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item number 2, which is project 2019-2571, vacation of easement 2020-97, and vacation of public easement 2020-98 to the June 24th DRB meeting?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I make a motion to defer item number 2 to June 24th.
Thank you.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I second.
Thank you. Let's vote on that deferral, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority. I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement. I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 2 to the June 24th DRB meeting. Ms. Gomez, are there any other items?
That's all I have this morning.
Okay, thank you. All right, now that we have our agenda set for today, we will ask if there are any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that now. This is similar to signing up to speak. You will sign up now, but your opportunity to speak will be when the case is called, similar to how we do the in-person meetings. So if you're on Zoom, you can use that raise your hand feature. You can raise your hand. I see Mr. Eister. And if you're on audio only, you can press star 9. Let me start with Mr. Eister. Can you tell us which item which you would like to speak on?
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you. I would like to give a statement of position of Knob Hill Neighborhood Association on the request on 3710 and 3716 Carlisle Boulevard.
Okay. That would be agenda item number 4.
I'm not certain.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's agenda item number 4, 3710 and 3716 Carlisle. Okay. So when we get to that item, we welcome your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Do we have anyone else? Ms. Gould, are you helping me look? I don't see any other hands. Okay. And we will, as we said before, we will check as we get to various items to see if someone came in the Zoom meeting. Okay. If there are any technical issues today, where, like, for example, just now there was some feedback, sometimes we lose audio or video. If we have technical issues, then I will close down the meeting, or it could end abruptly. But just note that we will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same Zoom link and phone number. So if for some reason this meeting has to shut down for technical reasons, please come back at 1 p.m. this afternoon. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant needs meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB staff members apply the technical standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. As such, the DRB is not a policymaking board. I would like the staff to introduce themselves and I will swear you in. Ms. Maggie Gould is our planning manager. Would you, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould and yes, I do.
Mr. Jay Rodbeck is a planner for the DRB. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I do.
Thank you. Mr. Shahab Biazar is a city engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar. Yes, I do.
And I'd like to also introduce Nicole Sanchez, who is legal counsel to the DRB. And look for her to wave in her screen. Thank you, Nicole. We will begin with item number one. And item number one is project PR 2018-1326, extension of improvements agreement, a one-year extension for number 2020-83. This is for the Eastside Development Inc. located on Juan Thibault Hills between Juan Thibault and Tierras Arroyo. Okay, would the applicant team please raise your hand in Zoom or raise your hand, press star 9 on your phone if you're just on audio.
I'm busy right now, please.
Hi, Ms. Holzer, correct? How do you say your name?
Holzer?
Okay, great. All right. Are you with anyone else in the applicant team?
No, just me.
No. Okay. Ms. Holzer, I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Can you go ahead and give us an overview of your extension of your infrastructure improvements agreement?
Yes. We are in the last stages of completing the scour wall along the Tijeras Arroyo. It's just not quite done yet, and we haven't turned in the closeout package for that, as well as the Juan Thibault Hills subdivision. Pretty much all of the work is done, and we're preparing as-built and also working on punch list items, and I think we're pretty much complete with that. So there's just a little bit left on the construction of this whole project, which has been a long time coming. It's a huge project. So we just need a little bit of an extension in order to get everything done and turned in.
All right. So 1 year is what you're needing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Let me check really quick. Is there any from the public that wishes to speak on this item? Please raise your hand in Zoom or press star 9 or raise your hand. I don't see anyone. So let's go to DRB comments. Let's start with the Water Authority.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. And I'd just like you to confirm the project that is referenced, 665-885. Is that correct?
Well, there's several of them. I would have to go back and look at what the exact job numbers are.
Because if it's for project 654-885, my records indicate that the Water Authority infrastructure has been accepted and would have no objection. Can you confirm that the Water Authority water and sewer has been constructed and accepted for that project?
For 885?
I showed a 654-885 and you showed a 665-885, so there's a little confusion.
Okay, I I can't answer that right now, Chris, because I don't know. I'd have to go get the plans off the rack and look at them and see exactly what it is that you're asking.
Well, what in general, the water infrastructure with your project, you're extending the entire infrastructure list, but I'm just getting clarity for the record that the water and sewer line associated with the entire infrastructure list that you are indeed extending has been accepted by the Water Authority, correct?
Yeah, I can say all of the water and sewer is in the ground and has been, you've had your walkthroughs and all of that has been addressed. So that should all be accepted. I would concur with that.
Okay, that makes sense. The project number that was referenced in your submittal package just caused a confusion. Thank you.
Okay.
Code enforcement?
Code enforcement has no objections or comments.
Parks?
No objection to the requested time extension.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. We have no objection.
Transportation.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I have no objection.
Okay, planning comments.
We have no objection to this request. The current IIA did technically expire on June 1st, but the IDO says that if you have your application in prior to expiration, then you're acceptable and the DRB can continue with your case. So the application was received by the city on May 4th, so it's timely and it's being considered in the correct process. The DRB was the original approving body. So planning has no objection to this request and this will allow the applicant to complete the infrastructure as they stated.
Okay. I think we're ready for a vote. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the request for an extension of infrastructure improvements agreement. Let's start with Water Authority.
Chris Carano with the Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfleet, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote to approve item number one, Project 2018-1326 and SD 2020-83, because the application meets the requirements of the IDO and DPM. Thank you very much, Ms. Holzer.
All right, thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Just a reminder that item number two is deferred, so we are moving to item number three, and this is our minor cases. The first one is Project PR 2019-2332, Preliminary Final Plat 2020-85 for Frank and Mary Padilla, located at 2737 Carson Road Northwest. Is the applicant team here, and could you raise your hand in Zoom? Or press star 9 on your audio. Okay.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Derek Archuleta is the agent on this, and I see he's got his hand up.
Oh, okay. Thank you. There you are, Mr. Archuleta.
Here I am.
Is this your case?
It absolutely is, yes.
Great. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us an overview? This is a minor case, so I do not need to swear you in.
Yes. This is a request for a two-lot subdivision off of Rio Grande. And we've submitted a preliminary plat that included a infrastructure list as part of the application. I do have Mr. David Sewell, who served as the engineer for the project. So we are here for comments. Thank you.
Okay. And Mr. Sewell, can you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, this is David Sewell, Rio Grande Engineering.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sewell. Let me ask you first off, do you have a city surveyor for your signature on your plat?
Madam Chair, this is Derek. Yes, we did. We did get signature yesterday on the Mylar.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, there was a little bit of confusion about the legal description and addresses. Can you verify the legal description, just the first part of it, map 38?
Track 300A1.
Okay. All right. And the address?
The address is, 3727 Carson.
2737?
Let me triple check that.
Okay. So for the record, I just want to note that the legal description on the agenda is slightly off. That says map 38300-A2B1A, and the correct parcel is map 38300-A1. And then we want to talk about the address a little bit because of, you can see on the left of this screen share that that parcel is showing as 2743 on Aegis.
Yes. So it would appear like, okay, 43, just based on chronology going up, that 43 would be the correct address, as the addresses, okay, are increasing as you go west.
Okay, so the correct address on the agenda says 2737. The correct address is 2743. Let's go through comments and we'll circle back to that issue if we need to.
Okay,
Water Authority. Oh, let me stop myself. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on agenda item number 3? You can raise your hand or press *9 if you're on the phone. And I do not see anyone. So let's go to the Water Authority.
Hey, Derek. Hey, David. Chris. This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority.
Hey.
So just a minor comment. The lot reference in the agenda differs from what was shown on the Zone Atlas page and on the plat, but obviously we clarified that at the beginning of this meeting project. You have received availability statement 200204, and that provides the conditions for service. They have a couple previous comments from the last hearing. The east-west public water line and sanitary sewer easement shall be a minimum of 25 feet in width. Please dimension or call out in the note somewhere. And looking at the survey, the dimension L4 is shown to be only 22 feet. So we want to make it clear that the Water Authority easement is indeed 25 feet for both utilities. Now, the plat proposes a public water and sanitary sewer easement that doesn't happen to be dimensioned near the northeast corner of proposed lot 1.
Mm-hmm.
This really isn't needed. This really isn't needed, as proposed lot 2 shall be served via private water and sanitary sewer service easement, which was a previous comment, which indicated a private water and sewer easement needs to be granted to allow proposed lot 2 to access the proposed infrastructure by crossing proposed lot 1. So we don't need a north-south alignment for public infrastructure, especially just for one lot, which is that lot 2.
Right.
Let's just get that east-west infrastructure in, and you can have north-south private services to get to lot 2. In terms of the infrastructure list, one comment was addressed, but I still had a couple carryover comments. One was the extension of public water line is not included. The description needs to include, shall be along Carson Road / the public water and sewer easement from the east property line to a point of service connection.
Okay.
And we'll need to confirm exactly how far east of the property line that water line ends, but we need to at least delineate that on your subject property. And lastly, we need to include, sewer services and water services are very minor in nature and typically aren't on an infrastructure list, but since it included one sewer service, I thought it made sense to indicate a total of 2 sewer services for lot 1 and 2. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
Okay. Code enforcement.
Good morning, Derek. Carl Garcia with code enforcement. The smallest lot size allowed is 0.2980 acres, And the largest lot is 0.4966 acres. I believe your project does fall within these two sizes. Is that correct?
That is correct, Carl.
Okay. I have no other comments.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
We have no objection to the requested plat.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl.
Hydrology.
Mr. Mijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved grading and drainage plan for both, I guess it would be 2743 and 2743A Carson Road with engineer stamp date of 6-4-2020. The only thing we would ask is please add the city's standard drainage easement language.
Okay, we will. Thanks, Ernie.
Transportation.
Good morning, Derek. You had acknowledged the comments I sent over about a week ago. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I'm still looking for some items from the last DRB case. One of them is the official fire marshal approval. I see you've spoken with them, but I didn't see a fire marshal stamped plan in the submittal. I needed a copy of the easement for the existing 20-foot easement to the east.
Yes.
And a variance was requested, but I just needed some more information for both the 20-foot easement and for Carson Road in terms of obstructions, structural obstructions and channel obstructions and that sort of thing in the variance request. I'm still willing to look at it, but I just needed more information with regard to that, if you could review the DPM requirements on that. And then where you have shown the C3 curve, you have a blank there. I just need information. It says document number. I just need for that to be clarified there.
Okay.
On the northeast corner, that's all.
Yes. Okay.
And that's it.
Thank you. This is David Sewell.
I'd like to get some clarification on what you're looking for on the existing easement. We do call out on the plat that it's an access easement, existing 20-foot access easement granted by deeds, and there's three copies of deeds that are attached to the drawing that labels them and the filing information. It's an existing road. I'm not sure what would you need from us to justify this. And it's not really a request for a variance on our piece, but utilizing the existing easement. So I wasn't sure if it was appropriate for us to be requesting a variance, but I did just because I wasn't clear.
So this is Gene with Transportation. This had been brought up at sketch plat time along with other DRB members. And yes, I understand your concerns and requests, and we're still willing to look at it. But the information that I need specifically relates to obstructions along the way. And we can discuss that in further detail after the meeting, if you wish, but we didn't have a lot of information to review within the request.
Okay, so maybe like an as-built of where everything is along that road and the widths.
As-built survey, yeah. A lot of times people will provide information such as a building located at this area restricts it by 20 feet or 18 feet. That's the sort of information that I'm looking for. So any type of as-built or survey information that you can provide would be helpful in this case.
That makes sense. We'll survey it to show where everything is.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I understand now.
Ms. Wolfenberger, this is Chair Wolfley. So are you talking about a variance to the width of Carson Road in that last segment?
Yes, the easement and okay. Carson Road. We had actually discussed this at the sketch plat stages, if you recall.
Okay. So what I'm trying to get at is I think we need to have an item added to this application for a variance.
Correct.
Okay. So with the applicant, if you will work with Ms. Gould or Ms. Gomez to make sure that the two things, the next time around that we see you, we'll need to have the variance listed with the application. We'll need to have the legal description and address correct. okay?
Okay, that'll work.
Let's go to planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. You know, Derek went over the requirement. He stated that he had added the city surveyor signature on the Mylar, the plat. We also need to have the project number and application number on the plat. I will note that in the comments memo I sent you, Derek,
yes.
I incorrectly labeled it PR 2019-002322. It's 02332. So just make sure that you keep that in mind when you add that information. We also need to have the utility company and AMA FCA signatures on the plat as well. Thank you. Yes. That's all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.
Yep. You're welcome.
Okay. And just to clarify, I'm going to make a note of this to help me later on. This one does require an AMAFCA signature?
Correct.
Okay. And we have your infrastructure list?
Yeah, yes, that was
okay.
By Mr. Sewell, correct.
Okay, all right. And maybe with any modifications you might have heard today. So it looks like we should defer this. How much time do you need to finish these few items that were talked about just now?
Madam Chair, I guess what I'd like a little feedback from Mr. Sewell in terms of the time he's going to need to provide information for Carson or we come up with a date.
Yes, this is David Sewell. I'd request 2 weeks. That will give us time to get the server out there and as-built and provide the information to transportation.
Okay, so 2 weeks would be June 24th. Is there a motion to defer item number 3 to June 24th? Ms. Gould, yes.
Madam Chair, if I may, the variance does require the offer of a neighborhood meeting, and I don't know if that occurred prior in this process.
So, good point. Okay.
It may actually need to be a 3-week deferral to allow for that 15-day period. We could do the 2-week deferral if the applicant can get confirmation from the neighborhood that they either don't want a meeting, in which case we're good to go, or that they do want a meeting, in which case we'd want an additional deferral.
Okay. So where this lands for your consideration as applicants is 2 weeks is June 24th, 3 weeks is a DRB break week. It's July 1st, which is just before the 4th of July. And then DRB will resume on July 8th. So out of those dates, given what Ms. Gould has mentioned, because right now you're on the agenda as a minor case, and in order to do the variance addition to this request, we need to check and see if there's neighborhood interest in a neighborhood meeting.
Okay. I guess I'll defer once again to Mr. Sewell regarding either the 24th or July the 8th.
This is David. Based upon the client's wishes, I believe we would like to stick to the 2 weeks. And I would like to clarify something. So the variance we're getting is not on our property. It's just being able to use an existing easement that's substandard. Do we still need that variance? Mm-hmm. Is that really the proper method?
Because that's a good question.
It's not on our property they're asking. It's just we're it's existing.
You're asking to use an easement that's substandard.
Correct. I would say substandard. That was probably the wrong terminology. It's 20 feet instead of 22 feet. But it's not a variance of something that's existing that we're granting on our property.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a question to Jean. Does this really need a variance?
Yes, this was discussed with DRB early in the process, and yes, that's what we had agreed upon at that time.
Okay, that answers my question then. I'd still like to stick to 2 weeks if possible.
Okay, let me check in with Ms. Sanchez and Ms. Wolfenberger, both to dialogue on this, and Ms. Gould, if you have any comments, but what is actually the instrument? If they are accessing their property through something that is a 20 feet instead of 22 feet. Ms. Sanchez, that seems unusual to be getting a variance for something that's right. So I'm trying to make sure we're landing at the in the right place in this approval process.
Hi, this is Nicole Sanchez. Can you repeat the question because you cut out a little bit? And so
I apologize. Okay. And if Jay, if you can bring the maps back up, just to make sure we're all clear. And Jean, why don't you describe the situation for Ms. Sanchez or Ms. Wolfenberger, describe the situation for Ms. Sanchez using this drawing?
So the 20-foot access easement that's in place that they'll be tying into is substandard per DRB requirements. And even though, and because they're connecting into it, this is typically a time when we look at the existing easement and determine whether or not we want to keep it at that width. And if so, it needs to be justified in terms of both fire marshal approval and whether or not it's feasible to even consider widening it.
So just to clarify, Ms. Wolfenberger, does that continue on their property, or where the Carson Road is on their property, is it at the appropriate width?
It doesn't.
So the 20-foot easement ends right at their property, and it continues on a few properties to the east to tie in with Carson Road.
Right, and as it's on their property, then it's at the required width, correct?
Within their property, the limits that are shown within the property are at the required width.
Okay.
Madam Chair? This is Shahab Beazar. May I answer that question?
Certainly.
Okay. So basically, the applicant is using an existing easement, and if it's not to the required width, they either have to require variance, and if DRB finds that it's not adequate width and they need additional width, they are supposed to go back and request easements from adjacent property owners for additional easements. So it doesn't matter if it's an existing easement, it's the applicant's responsibility to require or buy or however they want to get that easement from adjacent property owners.
Okay. I appreciate that, Mr. Beazar. And I still would like Ms. Sanchez just to make sure we're headed in the right direction here.
Okay, so this is Nicole Sanchez. Just understand the question. The question is whether a variance is required.
Yes, and if I guess my question is just, Mr. Beazar has just laid out what the requirements are. It just seemed, Mr. Sewell stated that it's unusual to have a variance for something off-site. It sounds like Mr. Beazar is saying if you don't have the variance, then you actually have to go and get the land that is off-site to be included in the easement. So under those circumstances, are we proceeding correctly in asking them to put a variance in their application for this to accept the 20-foot easement instead of a 22-foot easement as it leads up to their own property that they will be using?
Yes, this is Nicole Sanchez. I defer to Shahab Beazar on that matter because that's a DPM. That would be a DPM requirement. And
okay.
I understand it's unusual, but it is a private access agreement. But okay. I defer to Shahab Beazar.
All right. And I think Mr. Beazar was clear that this should be a variance. And so, Mr. Sewell, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't. Mr. Beazar was very clear. I understand.
Okay. All right. So we're back to a deferral date. Maggie, Ms. Gould, can you just remind Mr. Archuleta, Mr. Sewell, what they will need to do in order to actually try to have an approval on June 24th?
Certainly, Madam Chair. This is Maggie Gould. So pursuant to Table 6.1, the procedure summary table of the IDO, variance DRB requires electronic mail to the neighborhood associations and a web posting, which the city does. And it requires the offer of a neighborhood meeting. So, and that's via email. So if the applicant were to send out that email in a timely manner and get a response back from the neighborhoods in a timely manner saying that they don't want to meet, then if all of the other things we've discussed are there, this could be ready for approval in 2 weeks. If they don't get a response back, or if the neighbors do want to meet, then that's going to push them out a little farther.
Okay. All right. So does June 24th still sound like your best target?
This is David Sewell. I think so. I think we missed the agenda a couple weeks, and for other reasons, we really want to try to get that data on.
Okay. And can you send us in a, I think it would be good for you to send in some kind of an email correcting your legal description and address for the record. And with that, I'll see if there's a motion to defer item number 3 to June 24th.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I make a motion to defer this item until June 24th.
This is Cheryl. Mr. Mimo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 3 to June 24th. Thank you. We are on item number 4, which is project PR 2020-3638, preliminary final plat 2020-101, variance of a sidewalk 2020-146, and variance of alley width 2020-147. This request is from Brian Tyree at 3710 and 3716 Campus Boulevard Northeast. Let's start with the applicant team. If you are able to raise your hand in Zoom, I see Ms. Garcia, and then you can also press star 9 if you're on audio. Ms. Garcia, are you with anyone else on the applicant team?
No.
No. Okay. This is a minor case, so I do not need to swear you in, but please go ahead and introduce your request.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. My name is Juanita Garcia with JAG Planning and Zoning, and we are here today to submit, have you review the preliminary and final plat. And what we're proposing to do is combine 5 lots into 1 lot. And this is over in the Knob Hill area. And then the second request is a variance to the alley width. The current alley is at 16 feet and the DPM requires it to be 20 feet. We've submitted a justification for us to have it remain at 16 feet. There are structures in the area that would make it difficult to widen the alley at 20 feet. And then we also have a sidewalk, a variance to the sidewalk width. The sidewalk is currently at 3 feet 6 inches. DPM requires it to be 4 feet, and we've also submitted justification for that. The surrounding area has that same width, and we're hoping to remain within that same width. There is a bike path that runs in that area that we believe helps with maintaining pedestrian connections through that area. So the variances did require us to reach out to the neighborhood associations. We did seek out the request to the neighborhood associations to see if anybody was interested in meeting to discuss this. We did hear a response back from the Knob Hill Neighborhood Association. We did meet with Gary Eister. Mr. Eister is here today to discuss what is being proposed and to hear any concerns that he may have. Mr. Eister went back to his board and had a meeting with his board to discuss the issues. Now, we know that there is some fencing that's been placed in the front of the site. Some of it was done most recently, and our understanding or what was conveyed to us was that there is a restaurant there. And so it was conveyed to us that they expanded the fencing area to allow for more outdoor seating, to try and remain open and to allow for social distancing given the pandemic. So, however, since our meeting with the Knob Hill Neighborhood Association, who indicated they have a strong concern regarding the fencing, the restaurant owner has proceeded with removing the fencing there. And so I know that one of the comments from transportation indicates that either the fencing needs to be removed or an encroachment agreement would need to be approved. And so we are seeking the removal of the fencing for that area. So with that, I stand for any questions, and I'm anxious to hear your comments.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Garcia. This is Chair Wolfley again. Can you just explain, it sounds like you've got existing uses on the property, and you're consolidating the lots. Do you know what the future holds for the site?
Madam Chair, there is a restaurant there and a dwelling unit there. And so the future would be to build a better kitchen for the restaurant. It's a very popular restaurant for the neighborhood. And so that would be the ultimate goal is to build a better kitchen.
Okay, thank you very much. That always helps us to know where we're heading. Okay, once again, I want to open it up to the public. I have Mr. Eister on the list. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak on this agenda item? Please raise your hand in Zoom, raise your hand in the video, or press *9 on your phone. Okay, let's go ahead. With Mr. Eister and Ms. Sanchez, do I need to swear Mr. Eister in on a minor case?
Hi, this is Nicole Sanchez. That's a good question because it's not required.
Didn't swear in the applicant.
Mm-hmm. I would, just because we're receiving public comment.
Okay. I don't think Mr. Eister would mind. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do swear.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Eister. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the board for accepting these community comments. And thank you, Ms. Garcia, for the good dialogue that we've had. As Ms. Garcia points out, we did provide a statement of position. Has the entire board been given the opportunity to read that? If so, I won't repeat it.
I have not seen it. Let me have the board members. Can you raise your hand in Zoom if you've seen Mr. Eister's statement from, is it from the Knob Hill Neighborhood Association? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I can bring up that supplemental that we received.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would be happy just to hit it, the high points of the letter.
Okay.
And it's probably useful to have the drawing that Mr. Rodenbeck has up there now.
Okay, we'll leave that up. And then if you would go through your letter, because I'm not sure everyone saw it. So go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just hit the high points. Our community appreciates TIAA-Bs, and we want to see TIAA-Bs succeed. There are a couple points that do not concern us, like the alley width and the wall on the alley on the east side of the property line. But we do have three concerns that we adopted in a statement of position by a unanimous vote of our board of directors. One is the grease storage and transport facility that's there now. This may or may not be something for the DRB to address, but it's just three or four 55-gallon barrels that are old and leaky, and it seems to us there must be some better way to deal with that. But that may be an environmental matter, may or may not be of concern to the DRB. We do have two matters of serious concern, and one I didn't hear Ms. Garcia address, and that is that there's the limited parking on the site is on the west side of the property, and it's a dirt lot, and it sheds gravel and sand onto the drive pad. And can one of the hosts, like, can Mr. Rodenbeck kind of point up in the northwest corner of the property? Yeah, there's a drive pad there out onto Campus Boulevard. And that lot is unpaved, and it sheds sand and gravel. And that drive pad is constantly covered with sand and gravel. So it's a threat even to able people, much less to vulnerable people. So we'd like to see that addressed by the DRB. Ms. Garcia did discuss our concern about a new fence. Mr. Rodenbeck, can you point to the old fence? It's that white line that goes out into the public easement, it's a public property. Yeah, that's been there for about 6 or 7 years. While it's on public property, it's 12 feet from the sidewalk, and it's fully landscaped. It's a wire fence, so it does not obstruct eyes on the street, and that's not a problem for us. As to repeat, it's 12 feet from the sidewalk, and it's fully landscaped, so this is not a problem. Owner is applying for the replat and the sidewalk variance on the to combine the properties, and there's an existing house that he has acquired, and so now he built a new fence, and that's just a little further to the right. If you can move that hand down a little more, it doesn't show up on this drawing because it's out at the sidewalk, so you would move the hand right out to the edge of the sidewalk. Right there, owner constructed a 7-foot wire fence right up against the sidewalk. And we did express to Ms. Garcia that we would oppose the replat and the sidewalk variance because that fence is right out on the sidewalk. It impairs the use of that narrow sidewalk. And what's more, it impairs the consistent, attractive streetscape and neighborhood character that council established in the IDO section 5-7. It impairs the consistent attractive streetscape of the neighborhood. So I think it might be appropriate to determine, maybe Ms. Garcia could indicate what the future of that fence is. I was by yesterday and that new fence was being dismantled. But we would like to see the DRB require that any new fence match the old fence that Mr. Rodenbeck showed to begin with, which is 12 feet from the sidewalk. And of course, it's the business of the DRB whether that requires a license from the city. But we appreciate the opportunity to indicate our concerns, and we do hope that you can help us with this question of this new fence and where it might be relocated.
Okay, I just want to clarify one matter, Mr. Eister. When you talked about sand and gravel from the parking area and having it be a disturbance to mobility. Where does it end up on the sidewalk along campus, or where is the?
Thank you, Chair. There's a drive pad where people can enter the unpaved parking lot. It's near the hand there. It's on the property line, or on the side. There it is, right there.
Okay.
That's the drive pad where the sand and gravel constantly flows down.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Ms. Garcia, you can go ahead and respond to the Mr. Eister's comments.
Okay. Yes, and we did recognize that the fencing is in the right of way, and the property owner has indicated that the fencing would be removed from the right of way. He does not want to proceed with an encroachment agreement. So ultimately, before the plat is signed, the fencing would need to be removed. We have also told the property owner that any fencing that is placed there needs to comply with the IDO in regards to height, setback, design, that sort of thing. And so we have also been in touch with, or I've reached out to the owner of the restaurant to explain that to him, but have not been able to make the connection as of yet, but we'll continue to do that with the owner of the restaurant. The other effort that would be made in discussing with having discussions with the restaurant owner is in regards to the barrels of oil that is being used for their storage of their oil, and making sure that he complies with the standards that have been identified through, probably, you're right, environmental health, I would imagine, would enforce that. In regards to the drive pad, so we did see a survey mark out in the site. And so it appears as if just a small portion of that driveway entrance is on the property of Mr. Tyree's property, and that the bulk of it is located on the properties to the west. So there are two driveway entrances, one that is covered right now by the shadowing of the tree, and that's a really small driveway entrance. And then there's a second driveway entrance just to the west of that. And that the one to the west of the tree is definitely within the property of the adjacent property owner. But the one that is being shadowed by the tree is there's a small portion of it. It's hard to say exactly how much, maybe a foot or half a foot of it is on the property of Mr. Tyree. So we understand the concerns in regards to the gravel that is spilling over onto the sidewalk in that area, and we, you know, look to you all for a recommendation on what we could do. I mean, we could make improvements on our portion of the property, but you know, cannot commit to making improvements on the neighboring property.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Garcia. As we go through DRB comments, Ms. Wolfenberger can give some feedback on that issue. So let's go ahead and go to DRB comments. Let's start with the Water Authority.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. There's no objection to any of the requests.
Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Good morning, Ms. Garcia. Just a question. I might have missed this, but did we talk about a revocable permit for anything that's on public property yet?
Mr. Garcia, no, we have not. Only because the property owner is not wanting to pursue that avenue, he's going to remove the fencing from the right-of-way.
Okay. So just want to make everybody aware in case there is something on public property that would need to be pursued. And I have no comments or objections.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. We have no objection to the requested plat for variance.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has no objection to the plat or either of the variances.
Thank you. Transportation.
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection to the variance requests for the sidewalk and the alleyway width. However, the driveways on your property do need to be modified to meet current ADA requirements in terms of a 4-foot ADA pathway, eliminating tripping hazards. And there's a possibility that this might help a little bit also with the neighborhood request to prevent some of the gravel that's spilling over. We would have to look at that in more detail after the meeting, however, but there's a possibility that by addressing that, it may address that. It helped to address that issue as well, although you are not required, of course, to deal with the neighboring property's driveway. Also, our typical requirement is to require a curve at intersections, so that would include campus and the alleyway there at the northeast corner, as well as on the southeast corner. That had been brought up last time. I had not seen a response to that requirement. As an alternative, we're also willing to look at whether or not site distance requirements are met or not met. I did bring up the possibility of a stop sign there at the 90-degree angle for the alleyway as well. And then, of course, concerning the fencing and block walls, as was mentioned earlier, either a revocable permit will be required if you are to keep these items in the public right-of-way, or else they will need to be removed. Transportation would tend to proceed with any fencing in the right-of-way as a revocable permit if it's intended to be kept in the public right-of-way, as long as it's not interfering with the sidewalk. So that wire fence that was brought up, it appears that it may be interfering with the use of that sidewalk. We would require that to be relocated specifically. And it looks like you are proceeding in that direction already. What has not been brought up is there's still encroachments in the alleyway itself that needed to be addressed in terms of the wall. So it's not just the campus boulevard encroachments, it's also the alleyway encroachments as well. So those are my comments.
Madam Chair, this is Juanita Garcia. I do apologize. It was stated in the letter that the property owner will also have the walls within the alley, the garden walls removed to have them be placed within the property. So that is to be expected. The property corners that you indicated they need to have a radius. So Ms. Wolfenberger, the radius that's proposed there along the alley, not along Campus Boulevard, but along the alley.
I'm sorry, I do see that. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was sufficient. Now the one towards Campus Boulevard and the alley, we are looking into the possibility of verifying if that will meet the clear sight triangle if we keep it at the current configuration. So we'll either have a radii there or we'll be able to demonstrate that it will meet clear sight triangle.
Thank you.
And yes, we can meet with you to discuss the improvements that you mentioned to see if that will help the situation that was addressed by Mr. Eister.
Okay, Ms. Wolfenberger, would those improvements be on an infrastructure list?
We really should put those improvements on the infrastructure list concerning the alleyways, correct. Anything involving fence relocations, however, I would just require verification of that prior to plat approval. And then, of course, having a revocable permit in place for anything remaining as part of a approved revocable permit.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. The one and only comment that I have is that prior to the DRB members signing the plat, the utility company and AMA FCA signatures must be obtained. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Eister, you have an opportunity to ask questions or cross-examination.
Thank you, Chair. I'll point out again the tremendous cooperation we've had from Ms. Garcia. And I think that's fostered our trust in the process. The one thing that remains unclear to me is whether the DRB actually captures the indications that she's given that the fences in the public property are to be removed, or is that something that's captured and memorialized in any way?
Yes, and if you heard Ms. Wolfenberger talk about needing those verifications before she signs off on the plat.
Good, I did not understand that.
Okay.
But with that, I do understand.
Wolfenberger, do you have anything to add there?
No, I don't. I just wanted to, this is Jean Wolfenberger. Yes, I just wanted to reiterate that either a revocable permit will be required for those items that are in the right-of-way that are sufficiently far back from the sidewalk and allow ADA requirements to be met, or we would otherwise we require the fencing to be relocation with verification prior to my plat sign-off.
And Madam Mr. Chair? Eister, go ahead.
Madam Chair, this is Shahabi Azhar. I have
yes.
a couple of questions. So I just wanted to confirm that, so the white fencing that is existing that has been there for 6 years, that's also encroaching into the right-of-way, or are they wanting to relocate that as well? If not, is a revocable permit is needed? Then my other question was that where is your handicap parking? Because it was indicated that that parking lot was there. Do we need to look into their parking requirements to see if that's in compliance? Because if it's a dirt parking lot, then where is the handicap parking for that lot for their usage of there's a couple of buildings there. I guess one of them it's residential and one of them is a restaurant.
Madam Chair, yes, there is a residence there and there is a restaurant there. And so the site doesn't really have any identifiable parking. This is an older development, and so it's been agreed upon that parking would happen just in that area next to the fence, with the entering from the driveway. And so it didn't really go through the formal review, or didn't get a formal approval for that parking there. I'm thinking those buildings are just probably non-conforming, and the parking is non-conforming along with it. However, with the addition or with the modification to the building, with the kitchen, all of that will be reviewed by code enforcement to determine if there is parking that would be required for this particular site on the site, and that would be reviewed at that point in time. Now, my understanding of the parking requirements may not trigger parking for this particular use or particular building because of the size of the building.
So, well, this is Shahab Bezar. Well, anytime you have a commercial building, there's a requirement for parking, and there's especially a restaurant, and there's, you know, handicap parking requirements. Then something else I noticed, that some of the parking kind of extends into the adjacent property. It seems like, you know, there's an access from the alley in the back where people come in, and it seems like, you know, they're willing to, I mean, they're able to park on this restaurant site. So I was wondering if there was a shared access agreement or some sort in place, or anything, because it seems like, is there an access from the alley in the back that comes from the adjacent property, and basically people could actually come in from the back and park in the back on this restaurant as well?
So there is some sort of access from the alley to the neighboring property to the west, right through there. Yes. And so I think everybody in the area who uses the establishments in that area probably use that as a drive area. So it's not, it's on the neighboring property, and it's something that's just existed in for the neighborhood, from what I understand.
Well, the point that I'm making, if it's the alley is being used to access these properties, and you know, parking the back, and typically if the alley is being used and if it's not paved, then the DRB will require the applicant to pave the alley because it's just being used for access. So that's why I'm asking those questions. So
my understanding is that there is no access onto this property from the alley, if that's your question.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gold, if I may.
Please, I was going to call on you, so thank you.
Under the IDO, Section 55B2, Exemptions and Reductions for Parking, pre-1965 buildings, and I'm not sure that the construction date of this building, but based on the neighborhood, it's likely that it's a pre-1965. Primary buildings constructed prior to 1965 do not have to meet minimum off-street parking requirements, except those required to satisfy the Americans with Disability Act, if the primary building is expanded by less than 200 feet and the number of existing parking spaces on the parcel is not reduced. So I think in this case, the comment that Mr. Bezar made about needing to provide accessible parking, it seems like that's something that they would need to do. But other than that, they have no minimum parking requirement. And then the Knob Hill overlay does have an exemption for smaller businesses, but bars and restaurants are excluded from those smaller businesses.
And Ms. Gould, if a home is being converted to commercial use, and we would have to verify that the home is pre-1965, so would that home also be exempted if it's converted to commercial use?
So, Madam Chair, I would ask code enforcement to weigh in on that. To me, the way that this is written, it doesn't clarify between residential and commercial use, and it doesn't address change of use. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the past, code enforcement has looked at a change of use as triggering parking requirements. I'm not sure how they are looking at that right now.
Right, because this is kind of a unique provision about pre-1965.
Correct. Right, and
Mr. Go ahead, Ms. Gould, and then Mr. Garcia.
No, and just in acknowledging the historical character of these neighborhoods. Right. So, but yes, and please, I defer to Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement. According to Section 55B1C, parking and loading, a change in use of a primary building that complies with the requirements of Table 551 of 552 before the change of use, and that increases the minimum off-street parking requirements for the building by more than 25%. That would be a trigger, but we need to look again at the pre-1965, because the pre-1965 will be an exemption that would override this other section of the IDO. So we need to do a little bit further research on this to know exactly if it was there before 65.
All right, and and Ms. Garcia, if you can help with that, and my understanding is you're not changing that building, right? You're not modifying that home?
That's correct.
The exterior, right. The footprint of it, yeah, okay.
Correct, it's just to make improvements to the restaurant, which is west, it's on the western, the restaurant's on the west side of that, of that site.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I can bring up the 1959 aerials for the site if you want to confirm that these buildings were there before 1965.
I think we can do that outside this meeting. So we can keep moving because we need to defer this to address many items. And some of the items Mr. Eister asked about will also be things that will be memorialized on an infrastructure list. That will have to be signed by the DRB as well as we go forward. The only item I think that we're not able to address, but maybe just talking about it with Ms. Garcia, as you have, is the storage, the oil storage that was discussed. So Ms. Garcia, looks like we need to defer this item to finish up some pieces. We've talked about, let me just go back for a second. Mr. Eister, yes.
Thank you, Chair. That's very kind of you. I just want to reiterate that our association did not have any objection to the old fence on campus that was 12 feet from the sidewalk. And Ms. Garcia is talking about that the owner would take that down. That would be strictly up to the owner. That's not something that we've asked for. But the new fence that was on the sidewalk, we would continue our opposition to the sidewalk variance unless that is made to match the old fence, 12 feet from the sidewalk and landscaped. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Eister, where they go when they come in for a new action like a plat reconfiguration of lots, it does bring into review anything that they have encroaching in the right of way. So we address that as a matter of practice.
Yes, respect that.
Okay, all right, thank you. Where were we, Ms. Garcia, in looking at, I think one of the items that's maybe particularly or more challenging would be the ADA parking that was discussed. So just kind of looking at what time horizon for the deferral seems appropriate to you?
So I guess I'm trying to get an understanding. So the ADA requirement would be applicable with the addition or currently?
I think Ms. Gould, what you read from the IDO is that if you're pre-1965, you are required to have ADA parking.
Madam Chair, correct? This is Maggie Gould, and I will ask that Mr. Garcia clarify that that's my read of the pre-1965 parking, is that it's exempt except for provisions for ADA.
Madam Chair, Ms. Gould, this is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I do agree with your statement and that interpretation of the IDO.
So it sounds like the current status is non-compliant with the ADA requirement. So in going forward with the plat action, that would be something we want to bring into compliance. And I'm not sure the spaces that are required.
Okay. So we can look into that.
Okay.
And then I think probably a 2-week deferral.
Okay, June 24th?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take a motion to defer item number 4 to June 24th.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for a DRB motion.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to defer the current item to June 24th.
Okay, and that's item number 4. Is there a second?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote to defer item number 4, which is Project 2020-3638, to the June 24th meeting of the DRB. Thank you, Ms. Garcia and Mr. Eister. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be moving along now to item number 5, which is Project 2019-2281, Preliminary Final Plat 2020-100, Variance to Street Width 2020-145. This is for Azar Properties, LLC, at 321 Sandia Road Northwest. And would our applicant team please raise their hands in Zoom? Or press star 9. Oh, Ms. Garcia. Okay. Thank you. And are you with anyone on this project?
No, I don't believe anybody else is
okay.
Here. No. Yes, I'm the okay. Only one.
All right. If you would go ahead and state your relationship to the project and then give us an overview of what your request is.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Chair, board members, my name is Juanita Garcia and I'm with JAG Planning and Zoning. And so we're here today to seek preliminary and final plat approval for a site that's located off of 4th Street and Sandia Road Northwest. It's over in the North Valley area. And so the property owner is proposing to construct a townhouse development on the site. It's an 8-unit townhouse development and had sought the approval of and was granted approval for various variances from the ZHE, from the IDO, and that's been been approved. And so we're working through this whole process to try to finalize and to get the construction going. So the final plat, preliminary plat, is necessary because there are long-range plans to provide a sidewalk improvements along 4th Street. And so because the property owner wants to proceed with construction, he is required to proceed with those improvements and is dedicating 10 feet of the property along 4th Street to accommodate the sidewalks and the street tree improvements that will be required for that particular site. So that's the main reason as to why we're coming in for the preliminary and final plat is for the dedication of the property along 4th Street. So in the sketch plat process, it was noted that we would need to apply for a variance to the right-of-way width. So the right-of-way along Sandia Road is 40 feet and the IDO requires it to be 47 feet. And so we did submit an application for that variance. And we also reached out to the neighborhood associations ask them if they were interested in a meeting to discuss this particular case. We had heard only from one neighborhood association. It was the Los Alamos Neighborhood Association. And we actually had a Zoom meeting on Monday to discuss the project. And so I'm not sure if anybody from that group is here today. I don't see anybody from that group, but I can briefly mentioned that their concern was mostly in regards to parking along Sandia. Since this is a corner lot along Sandia and 4th, the residents there are concerned that there would be parking along Sandia from the residents on this particular site. And so they were wanting to know if we could assist them with trying to get some no parking signs placed along Sandia Road. So I've reached out to Ms. Wolfenbarger, who indicated she's not opposed to having any signs posted along Sandia Road. I've reached out to parking code enforcement, who then directed me to traffic engineering. So I've reached out to traffic engineering and they have not returned my phone call. I did make a call through 311 and they indicated that I have, or they have until mid-June to respond to us in regards to getting any no parking signs there. So we are, we did explain to the neighborhood association that we are working toward trying to get some sort of relief there from parking on the street, and that we would continue to do that. The owner also committed to continue to do that. And so we'll do whatever we can within what we're allowed to do by city standards to either stripe the street in that area where parking is not allowed or to place no parking signs. So with that, I stand for any questions.
Okay, so this will be, it will remain one owner of the entire parcel, even though you're building 8 townhomes, correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, all right. And I want to formally see if there is anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item. Please raise your hand in Zoom or press *9 on your phone. I don't see anyone as well. Let's go to board comments, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, this is Chris Dan with the Water Authority. I just wanted to note that the DRWS form was not signed by the Water Authority. However, we did receive an availability request, and that will be required prior to a future site plan approval if that takes place, or service, whichever comes first. But we have no objection to the preliminary plat itself, nor to the variant. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Chris Cadena, we submitted the DRWS form on Friday with the supplemental packet. You did not receive that?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. The information I saw on the DRB Dropbox, but maybe I missed it, but there was a DRWS form that was not signed. Either way, it's not a huge issue, as I don't have any objection to this. This doesn't really warrant any infrastructure, but once the site plan does come through or you'll need service, that availability statement will be required prior to that approval.
Okay, thank you.
Code enforcement.
Code enforcement has no objections or comments.
Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld of Parks and Rec. Fourth does require street trees, and we've worked with the applicant on a street tree plan, and so we have no additional comments or objections to the requested plat or variance.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of 4/30/2020. We have no objection.
Thank you. Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. We approve the 10-foot right-of-way dedication on 4th Street as was requested earlier. We also approve the variance request to the right-of-way width on Sandia Road, as we find that sufficient, it being a dead-end road as described in the application. We do require sidewalk, which is shown on your infrastructure list that you have for both 4th Street and Sandia. We ask that you coordinate with DMD's project on 4th Street prior to construction of that. So, but I think those requirements are taken care of on the infrastructure list, along with the ramp requirement at 4th and Sandia, depending on the ultimate location of the inlet that DMD will build. And last but not least, I just wanted to state that transportation, our department does not require the no parking signs, but we're not opposed to it either in front of the property if it helps with the neighborhood requests. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and to help me understand, Ms. Wolfenberger, is there an infrastructure list needed for this plat?
There is an infrastructure list that's been submitted.
Oh, been submitted. Okay. And you're okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you. Planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I just note that the project number and application number is going to be added to the plat. I do have a comment about needing the city surveyor's signature on the plat. I did look through, again, the submittal, and there is an additional plat that does have the city surveyor's signature along with a couple of the utility companies' signatures as well. You need to get the remaining utility company signatures as well as the AMA FCA signature on the plat. And I just note, too, for future reference, that it's good to have if you got to have duplicate copies of the plat, I understand that, but it's preferable to just have, you know, the copy of the plat with the signatures. It just gets kind of confusing if we have multiple copies in the submittal packet. But that's all the comments I have. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So it looks like we could likely approve this because we do have a copy, or we could vote on this. We do have a copy of the plat with the surveyor's signature, correct? That's what you just said? Okay.
Yes, we absolutely do.
All right. And Ms. Garcia, is there a way to consolidate your utility signatures on a plat that we would then sign electronically as DRB?
Madam Chair, we have just one plat that we're working with.
Okay.
The initial application had a copy of that same plat, but without the surveyor's signature, the city surveyor's signature. We had not at that point in time obtained the signature. However, the day that we submitted the application, which was on the 2nd of June, we were able to obtain the city surveyor's signature. And so that's why we sent that second copy. But the copy that we have of the plat shows the Mylar has just the signatures of all but Quest's signature. We do have a MAFCA, we do have Comcast, and so we do just have one plat. Yes, we could we don't need to consolidate. We have it all on one.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. So let's start with your infrastructure list. I don't know if Mr. Rodenbeck has that to bring up, but that would be the first thing we need to approve.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I should be able to bring that up here. Give me 1 second here. Hey, Juanita, could you help direct me to?
It should be pretty early in the packet.
There it is. I got it.
Right. And I like to bring this up because normally the DRB members are able to actually see this and sign in the meeting the actual list. So it looks like these are transportation items. Any comment on the infrastructure list, Ms. Wolfenberger?
No, I don't have any further comment. This is Jean.
Okay. All right. So let's vote to approve or deny the infrastructure list, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There's a consensus vote to approve the infrastructure list for item number 5, which is Project 2019-2281. All right, now I'll take a motion to, not a motion, but I'll ask each board member to approve or deny the plat, preliminary final plat application with the variance to the street width. And if you are accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed. Water Authority.
Ms. Cadena, Water Authority approves.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
Do you need delegation?
I don't need any delegation.
Okay. And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves with delegation for utility signatures and DXF file. Am I missing anything, Ms. Gould? Yeah, or Mr. Biazar?
Thank you. Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. You still also have to hold your signature for IIA because there's an infrastructure list.
Oh, okay. All right. So planning delegation would be for complete utility signatures, AGIS DXF file, and the infrastructure improvements agreement. Okay. All right, there is a consensus vote to approve item 5, Project 2019-2281, preliminary final plat and variance to street width. Because the application meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM, with delegation to planning for 6 weeks to address the issues just stated.
Thank you.
Just making a couple notes here for myself. And Ms. Garcia, if you're still on. Oh, okay. Just a reminder that gather all those utility signatures first before you send it in to Mr. Rodenbeck for DRB members to sign. Okay?
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
That makes it go a lot faster. And also on your DXF file, if we like those submitted when you have your approval. So I don't know if you've submitted that to AGIS yet, but this would be ideal to submit it when you have your approval. And then we make sure we have the right file going to AGIS.
Okay, great.
Thank you. That's
all. Thank you.
Okay, we are on agenda item number 6. And this is project PR 2019-1935, waiver to the IDO 5-5 I1E 2020-128. And I don't know if that's an I or an L. Is it an I, Ms. Gould? Just getting the site right of the IDO. And this is for Gary Hines at 2505 Wyoming Boulevard. Would the applicant team please raise your hand?
Okay.
Ms. Johnson and Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This once again is a minor case, and I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourselves and enter in the record and then explain your request.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure why my video isn't working, but I'm here on behalf of Gary Hines for Stripes Restaurant. This is a project that is located on the northwest corner of Wyoming and Claremont. It's on a property that's less than, and the zone atlas is off by one property. It's a less than half an acre. It's zone MXL. For a little bit of background on this, we went through the ZHE for a conditional use for the drive-through. In 2019, it was approved in April. The applicant and the site plan was in the that application. The applicant proceeded with his architect to design the project, submit the building permit. In the permit process, I believe close to 6 months. They have gotten approval from all departments except for zoning. Because of the issue of being on a corner lot and the delivery service window facing Claremont. So the current rules in the IDO is that on a corner lot, you shouldn't be facing your delivery service window towards a public street. However, this development, and if I had the power to share my screen, I could show you some pictures. This development is it's redevelopment, it's an old Circle K building with an associated small car wash building. It's a, you know, particularly ugly structure. It's a blighted site. We've, like I said, we've been in the process for quite a long time. We've sent out notification to the neighbors and the associations multiple times over the last year. We've never been asked for a meeting, but during the conditional use process, one of the neighbors that lives across the alley to the west came and testified in support of the project. This gentleman also called me last week or the week before to say that he is still in support of the project. Please, please get it done. And as you all know from my letter, we were directed by the CEO, James Aranda, to submit to to CHE for this variance. It was in the process for about a month when the CHE planner contacted me and said he thought it should a DRB request. And so we made a quick change last week, submitted it to you all, and now we're here for approval of the waiver. Again, in my letter goes through all of the variance or waiver criteria for the DRB. There's a number of things that don't apply to this request. Again, we're not changing the footprint of the buildings. We're not changing the drive access from Wyoming or Claremont. You can see from Jay's screen that they've already put the signs up in anticipation of getting the building permit. Our applicant has also asked Mr. Lynn Clark, chief building official, for an extension on the building permit review because you only get 6 months and this process has required an extension.
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. Ms. Fishman, you have the ability to share your screen now if you'd like.
Oh, okay. Well, and it looks like you guys have put some of the images up. I'll just move this over to that screen here. Can you see my screen?
No.
No? Okay, let me... Okay, share screen.
Okay. And then hit
there we go.
Share, yeah.
Okay, so starting, you know, here are the two buildings looking north from Vermont. You can see the alley to the west or to the left of your screen. The small building next is the old car wash building, and then the building in the center is the old Circle K building. The delivery service window for this request would be where my cursor is, where it's boarded up. So again, they're keeping the footprint. They're gonna pretty up these buildings because, you know, there's nothing uglier, I think, in our community than these old sites, and my office is working on a few of them. It does have some existing landscape on the site, but we are going to bring it up to IDO standard for buffers and landscape and coverage and all that good stuff. So let me see if I have any other. Okay, there's another view. Here's the site plan that's been in the building permit process, a little bit confusing site plan, but there it is. One thing I forgot to mention is we do have an approved TCL that was approved in January of this year, so it's about 6 months old. And then here's some building elevations. You can see the south elevation right here where my little hand is shows where the delivery service window is, and that aligns with the old door to the Circle K building.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fishman.
You're welcome.
Did you have something more?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for your patience with the process and getting directed to us. And Ms. Gould, can you clarify, the waiver is to section 55I?
Madam Chair, if Mr. Garcia can help me with this, I'm having an issue with the citation.
Okay.
If you could give us a second.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie.
Yes.
I have pulled up the letter from James Arando's CEO about this issue. Ignore the fact that he called out the ZHE for this. But it looks like
yes,
section is 55 L
I. Yeah, it's actually, I'm looking it up on page 250 of the IDO, and it's an correct. I. So it's 55I1E.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure our approval was spot on. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go. Are there any members of the public that are here to speak on item number 6? Raise your hand in Zoom or press star 9 if you're on the phone. Okay, seeing none, let's go to board comment. Water Authority. And Ms. Could I stop you 1 second, Chris? Yes. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. There's no objection. However, once development moves forward with either a site plan or request for service, an availability statement will be required. Thank you.
Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. For the record, I just want to state it why the delivery service window was not able to be placed on the non-corner side or at the rear of the building.
Ms. Fishman?
Okay. If you read all the rules for drive-throughs, it's basically impossible to meet the DPM and the IDO and actually have a drive-through on a corner lot. So it was determined by the CEO that it was more important that the delivery service window was oriented away from the residential use to the west. And it would have less impact than orienting it towards a street where on the other side of the street is non-residential. So it was just determined that it was better where it was located. And I would also add for the record that this provision in the IDO is proposed to be removed by Councillor Trudy Jones. So if this was a few months from now, we wouldn't even be asking for a variance to this. I think it was realized by council staff and others that you basically couldn't meet all the requirements. So the CEO agreed with us that this was the best location. And also for the ability to have adequate queuing for the site. It was better to have it where we've proposed it. So.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fishman. Right. Anything else, Mr. Garcia?
No, code enforcement has no objections and no other comments. Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We just noted that Wyoming Boulevard requires street trees, and but that would be required if the investment is over the minimum, which is Paradio Section 56B4. But it sounded like you're, from your previous comments, that you were going to be bringing up the landscape to IDO standards. So that sounds good. And we have no other comments and no objection to the requested waiver.
Thank you.
If I could address that, the improvements to this building will not exceed $500,000. So I am not sure I have the landscape plan here, but we will follow whatever that rule is.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fishman. That'll be a great benefit to the neighborhood. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. We have no comments or objection.
Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection to the request for the variance. And I do agree that this location of the drive-up window is optimal for traffic circulation purposes. As was stated earlier, this provides sufficient queuing. So it's a safe location for this instance. I did want to note that just for the building permit process, I just wanted to verify all public infrastructure is with public property and private within private property. One of the reasons I had brought that up is just because of the stripes signs that had been put up. I just wanted to verify that that was in private property, but that's that can happen during the building permit process. Of course, you know, with some required reconstruction of sidewalk per the approved traffic circulation layout, just to verify that ADA requirements are met and minimum 4 foot clearances around power poles are met for building permit and construction purposes. So that, but that's based on the permit process. So that concludes my comments.
Okay, and thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. And I'll just clarify, you mentioned you didn't have an objection to the variance. This actually is a waiver provision in the IDO currently. So this will be a waiver. Planning?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Staff will just note that we received a phone call from a nearby property owner who was concerned about the request because of the possibility of traffic backing up into the street, and also stated that he did not receive timely notice. We will also note that pursuant to table 6-1-1, notice to property owners is not required. However, the applicant did send a courtesy notice to property owners. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. All right, I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the waiver request to IDO 5-5I1E for project 2019-1935. Let's start with water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority approves.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote to approve item 6 because it meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM. Thank you very much. And that was waiver 2020-128 that we just approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm sorry. Before we call item 7, I'm going to ask the DRB to vote to go into a recess until 11:10. Let's start with Water Authority.
Approve. Chris Gannon, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approves.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
In Wolfenberger, Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair approves. So we will have a recess. The Zoom meeting will stay open. You can put yourself on mute and we'll see you again at 1:10 in this same meeting. The June 10th meeting of the DRB, and Ms. Gomez is here. There she is, okay. On these views, everyone changes positions. Okay, so we'll go ahead and start our recording again. We are on item number 7, project 2020-3659, preliminary final plat 2020-89. This is for Presbyterian Healthcare Services at 8324 Constitution Place Northeast. And is our applicant team here? Would you please raise your hand? You can do this using the Zoom feature, raise your hand or press star 9 on a phone. Okay. Okay, can you identify yourself? You've got a wonderful background there. I wish I was near there.
This is Glenn Broughton with Bohannon Houston.
Oh, okay, thank you, Glenn. Yeah, earlier you were identified as that. I'm gonna let Ms. Gould change your name on there just to help remind me. And yeah, are you the one person here today representing this?
Well, Jason Pine was taking the lead on this.
Jason, okay.
I'm here, Madam Chair. I raised my hand, and I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, for some reason I didn't, but thank you for speaking up. Once again, this is a minor case. I don't need to swear you in, and let's just have which one of you will lead out and give us an overview of the project. We did see you on June 3rd, so just summarize from then.
Yes, this is a deferral from June 3rd. Basically, just to give you an overview again, we're eliminating the lot lines between the 5 existing lots within the property and creating one new lot. And we granted easements for utility requests, and we do have utility signatures. I submitted that to Jay yesterday. And I do not have a BXF file yet. So we are basically seeking approval with delegation to planning, pending that BXF file, and moving on forward to get the infrastructure list signed and approved and signed.
Okay. And that is the final infrastructure list is before the DRB, correct, Mr. Pine?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get comments, starting with Water Utility Authority.
Oh. I think Chris is, this is Jay Rodemack. I think Chris is muted.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is.
Oh, talking to myself. This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. No objection.
Thank you. Code Enforcement?
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. No objection. No comment.
Parks and Recreation?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. We just comment that Wyoming Boulevard is of a classification that requires street trees. The minimum width for street trees is 4 feet per IDO section 56D1D. It does look like you have that amount. So we have no additional comments and no objection to the requested plat.
Okay, hydrology.
Minister Mijo, hydrology, no objection.
Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenbarger with transportation. I have no objection.
Thank you. Planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I believe we have no objections. I'm going to have to just confirm that the CenturyLink signature showed up. It's showing up. I can show you. I think when I added the submittals for all the different applications together, I think we had a mistake. Like, if you see this, Jason, it's showing up as unsigned, but I believe I saw it. Give me 1 second here. Believe we got it. I think we're okay.
Yeah, it is signed up.
I think when I combined everything, it just got messed up. Here, I'm pulling it up. Just one second. Just the plat itself and not combined with everything else. It should show up just fine. One second. Here we go. Well, still processing. Oh, well, no. So if you see this, Jason, the CenturyLink signature.
Yes.
It's not showing up.
Okay. I think what happened was when I tried to reduce the file size, it didn't incorporate that signature. So I sent it to you as is. So I think if you don't combine or reduce
just if you would, Jason, just send it to me by WeTransfer and I can play with it and hopefully get it to work.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck. That's thoughtful of you. Okay. I'm going to now ask Mr. Rodenbeck to first put up the infrastructure list. Can you grab that?
One second. I had Mr. Pine's plat pulled up in my PDF here. Just give me one second. It's pulling up here. Jason, do you know what page it's on by any chance?
It should be at the end of the...
Is it the very
end?
It's
scrolling down. I'll stop.
There it is. Got it. Okay.
I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the infrastructure list. And is this the one page of it, Mr. Rodenbeck?
Madam Chair, there's a second page.
Okay.
Pages with the signatures.
With signatures. Okay. And that does have the owner on there. Okay. All right. Let's start with Water Authority. This is a vote on the infrastructure list.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Stormyhill, Hydrology, approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the infrastructure list for project 2020-3659, preliminary final plat 2020-89. Now I'd like to ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the preliminary final plat. And if you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed. Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Recreation, approve.
Ernest Stormhill, Hydrology, approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve with delegation for utility signatures, AGIS DXF file, and an IIA. And that will be for 8 weeks. There is a consensus vote to approve item number 7, project 2020-3659, preliminary final plat 2020-89, because it meets the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM, with delegation to planning for 8 weeks for the items just stated.
Madam Chair, did you say IIA? I don't think we have one.
Okay, Mr. BSR? Do they?
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. Yeah, since you have an infrastructure list, you have to put a financial guarantee based on that. So you need an infrastructure improvement agreement.
Okay.
Executed prior to chair signature.
Okay. Thank you.
There.
Okay. Thank you, and you're welcome to follow up with any questions on that if you have them. We are now ready for our sketch plats. The first one is item 8, project PR 2020-3918, sketch plat 2020-52. This is for John and Jasmine Pitcher, located on San Antonio between Montgomery and Tramway. Would the applicant team please raise their hand? Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. Michelle Negretti was the agent for this, and I don't see her or the pitchers on this call. I don't know if we could try to contact her quickly, or...
What I prefer is we can defer this, ask the board to defer this, and then contact the applicant.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I can contact the applicant while this goes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion to defer item 8 to the end of this agenda?
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. I move to move agenda item number 8 to the end of the agenda for this meeting.
Thank you.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I second the motion.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority approves.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to move agenda item number 1 to the agenda, end of the agenda today. We are on agenda item number 9, project PR 2020-3899, sketch plat 2020-49 for Jennifer Sewell at Quivira Drive between Vista Vieja Avenue and Ray Tablo Road. Can the applicant team please raise your hand?
This is David. I can't figure out how to raise my hand.
Okay. Your voice is great, David. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. Anyone else to represent this case with you, David?
Just me.
Just you. Okay. Go ahead and give us an overview, and then we'll get comments for you.
Yes, ma'am. This is a piece of property. It's approximately 7 acres. It has a existing right-of-way down the middle of it. It is zoned RA. We are proposing to develop it in the RA zone. Quarter acre lots. We do have a drainage outfall. We have spoken to AMAFCA. There is no additional fees as long as we match the discharge rates. We have water and sewer in the area. I understand there's we're outside of the service area, so we have to get on the within the service area. I'm just here requesting additional comments so we can proceed to preliminary plat.
Okay, thank you for coming in. It's always a good idea. Let's start with the Water Authority and getting comments.
Hello, David. This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority.
Hi, Chris.
You are correct that the property is outside the Water Authority's adopted service area and will require Water Authority Board approved development agreement prior to preliminary plat approval. And to get that process started, you'll need an availability statement request. And in return, you'll receive a serviceability letter. That serviceability letter will essentially be an exhibit to the development agreement. Also, the serviceability letter will indicate the required infrastructure, and the required infrastructure shall be included on an infrastructure list. And lastly, there's pro rata assessed for this property, and that shall be paid prior to approval. The amount assessed is $35,583.72. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Code enforcement.
VPO 2 and CPO 12 standards apply in this area, and I have no further comments.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. We note for the record that the property is adjacent to major public open space to the south. So it is subject to IDO Section 5.2, Site Design and Sensitive Lands, which typically requires a buffer. In this case, Vista Vieja acts as the required single-loaded street, but houses, any houses within 330 feet from that major public open space will be subject to IDO Section 5.2H design standards. That's all of our comments, and we have no objection to the requested plat.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hydrology?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Please provide a conceptual grading and drainage plan and also provide that to AMAFCA. AMAFCA approval of grading and drainage may be required. And out of curiosity, the drainage easements you're showing, are those for water quality or what are they going to be for?
Drainage. I do expect to have, there is a small tract of land to the west of us. The upland flow was cut off, but I have about 5 acres that actually will have to drain to our site. And that lines up with a 24-inch storm drain that was not necessarily stubbed in, but it was stubbed to our east property line. And so that was the spot that I anticipated allowing the water to come on. I do anticipate putting water quality ponds there as well, and then discharge to the existing storm drain in the Vista, in the Montecito subdivision.
Okay, thank you.
Transportation.
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation. Provide road cross sections were for Covera, Vista Vieja, and Retablo Road. Roadway and sidewalk are required along frontage. Construction of Covera Retablo Road intersection is required as part of this. Proposed reduced right-of-way width is acceptable for Covera Road as shown on this sketch, and an infrastructure list shall be provided for all proposed roadway improvements and shall be required to go through the work order process.
For some clarification, this is David Sewell. The intersection of Retablo and Covera, what does that mean? Is that all four quadrants, or what does that mean?
Well, along the frontage, you'll have to at least at minimum provide have it wide enough to provide two directional traffic.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Planning comments? Ms. Gould?
Something weird. I've got you. Okay. So the same comments that code enforcement made regarding the VPO and the CPO, and then following up on Ms. Sommerfeld's mention of Section 5.2C, avoidance of sensitive lands, the applicant will need to do a sensitive lands analysis to determine how to address things on the site, such as steep slopes or rock outcroppings. And it does look like there may be sort of up in the north west corner of the site, or sorry, northeast corner of the site, there may be some features, and there may be something towards the middle. So, and if the applicant has questions, they can circle back with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Shahabiaz. I had one quick question. So the right-of-way on Vista Vieja is 43 foot minimum. Gene, do they have to request a variance for the right-of-way width?
They would under the old DPM requirements. The new DPM requirements, though, once they become effective, they would not.
Okay, all right.
And in addition to that, there's also sidewalk that's already built on their portion, so the road's built out on their portion of the Vista Vieja.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I think that's everything then, Mr. Sewell. Do you have any further questions?
I do not. I think all my answers are, all my questions have been answered.
Perfect. Thank you so much for waiting your turn. We are on item number 10, project PR 2020-3903, sketch plot 2020-50. This is for David Mirabal at 1936 Cherry Lane Northwest. And raise your hand if you're representing this application on the applicant team. Ms. Garcia? Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Garcia.
Good morning. We're hoping to get some comments on this particular request. Some of the comments that we've received indicate that this request is a little bit confusing. So we were just kind of hoping to explain a little bit more. So what we're wanting to do is we're representing Mr. Mirabal, and he's got in the middle of his property, towards the back portion of the property, a turnaround easement that needs to be vacated, honestly. So this was part of Cherry Lane. The original platting action showed a turnaround of Cherry Lane to be all the way back here towards this area. But over the years, portions of Cherry Lane, this portion of Cherry Lane had been vacated. And then the turnaround was actually built further south, as you could see in the aerial, in this area here. And so what we're seeking is the vacation of just this turnaround easement. It's not necessary. It doesn't provide access, vehicular, or it's not part of a road anymore. And so that's what our request will be doing.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Garcia. Let's go to Water Authority.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. We have no objection.
Code Enforcement.
I'm Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. The smallest lot allowed is 0.3589 acres. The largest lot allowed is 0.5982 acres. And I believe you fall within those two sizes of lots. Is that correct?
We believe so, Carl, but we will need to verify that. Assuming that if you'll see, there is a calculation there on the plat, on the sketch plat.
So I saw that.
The gross and the net, we'll have to talk to the surveyor, but our understanding is the gross is like 2/10 too large. and then we believe the net is probably the calculation without the that turnaround easement. And so we will need to discuss this with our surveyor to verify if that. And the other thing that we would like to do is, of course, talk to you about it too, as to how, what you determined to be the block.
Correct.
For that calculation.
Definitely, so, we can meet offline and I can show you exactly what was utilized.
Awesome, thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure, thank you. And just so you know, if the calculation is larger, then of course a variance will need to be applied for to move forward, okay?
So if given that this would be less than 10%, do we qualify for an administrative amendment?
I believe a deviation might be allowed. You might be able to apply for a deviation.
Okay.
If it's under the 10%, but I will double check the IDO on that.
Okay, perfect.
To make sure that the DRB allows that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We have no comments and no objection.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology defers to transportation on the vacation of easement, so we have no further comments.
Thank you. Transportation.
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Due to the length of Cherry Lane, some sort of turnaround for a fire truck is still required. Even if you are proposing vacation there, we would need some sort of turnaround that will meet fire marshal approval. That can be worked out outside of the meeting. We'll need a firm surface for that turnaround as well that will have to be provided onto an infrastructure list, and any kind of right-of-way, including an easement, you know, may need to be looked at. You know, this is a little bit different from a turnaround I'm normally used to seeing as far as an easement. Provide a copy of the approved vacation action at the end. And also, last but not least, sidewalk would be required along the entire front edge of the subject properties.
Okay, Gene, I guess I'm not really sure. There is already a turnaround on Cherry Lane. Are you saying that is not sufficient? Or I'm wondering if Jay could possibly help out with showing an aerial, a clearer aerial of that area. Here's the current turnaround. And the easement that we want to remove from this parcel is up here.
Mm. Well, that bulb right there, I think that you're referring to isn't sufficiently wide enough. I did measure that. But like I said, this is something that we'll need to work out with a fire marshal and a possible turning template design, just to make sure you've met those requirements.
Because I'm thinking that was done, you know, prior, and I'm not sure how that relates to, but we could talk about this later. Yes.
So okay. Yes, I did give you some examples, you know, and that'll give you some clue as to what might be required per those examples and widths. And of course we're willing to look at any other kind of design just so long as it can be proven with a turning template design or approval by the fire marshal that it will work. I mean, we're flexible as far as the location. But we just need to have some sort of turnaround that can be used in this case.
Okay. Yes. Well, we can talk about that offline for sure.
Okay. Thank you. Planning comments.
So for this project, the only thing that we had was that the vacation needed to be justified pursuant to the vacation criteria in 66K3. And we'll defer to transportation for the actual vacation.
Okay.
Thank you. And that was Ms. Gould giving those comments. Okay. Anything further, Ms. Garcia?
No, nothing further.
Okay. This is Shahab Biazar. I had one quick comment, not regarding the vacation, but the ditch. So when you come for the actual planning action, we probably will require MRGCD signature on the approval on the plat.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Biazar. That's good. Okay, we are on agenda item 11, project 2019-1991 for sketch plat 2020-51 for PV Trails Albuquerque LLC, located on Woodmont between Rainbow and Paseo del Norte. Please raise your hand if you're here for this item. Mr. Archuleta? No?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes, okay. I saw some glowing, but it wasn't a hand. Okay, thank you.
Two hands.
Sometimes I have ESP and I Zoom ESP and I'm like, Mr. Archuleta, is that you? Okay. Go ahead and give us an overview of your project, please.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a request by a couple of property owners to look at subdividing this property. They're looking at a 45 lot, 7-tract subdivision. The property is zoned R1B. And we're here for a comment related to their request. Thank you.
Okay. So I thought I kind of understood the boundaries of this. Can you just identify on these maps what the boundaries would be of this request?
Okay, so it's going to include tract, I believe this is tract 6, right here.
Okay.
And this is tract C. Tract 6 is the bulk land plats of the trails. Tract C is the correction plat of Valle Prado. They're both properties are zoned the same.
Okay.
So it's two, we're starting off with two tracts.
Okay. All vacant land at this point.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. All right. Water Authority.
Hello, Derek. This is Chris Dillon with the Water Authority. The property is outside of the Water Authority's adopted service area, although there is an existing Water Authority Board approved development agreement, R1916, which provides the conditions for service. So there's some important items in there that you may need to review.
Okay.
Also, please provide a utility plan and infrastructure list for review. Now, it's understood that most of these lots fall within our pressure zone 5W. And I'm going to ask that you include a note, because there's a strict language in the development agreement that doesn't allow any service to these lots until, or lots in 5W until certain things happen. And I only count about 4 to 6 lots that are in 4W, which could possibly get infrastructure from the existing system there. But since most of your development is in an area that we're not allowing any connection to until certain things take place, I included on my comments a lengthy note that I think would be helpful to include on that plat.
Okay.
So that's all that I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, and maybe I should read that into the record. Okay. Only lots within 4W can be served, i.e. lots 1, 2, 3, 12, 13, 14, from the existing pressure zone 4W water system. Subject to the terms of the development agreement, R1916, temporary service to properties within the Water Authority's pressure zone 5W may be provided via connection from the existing Corrales 5W closed loop system in the Corrales trunk. The Water Authority will allow such connection to this closed loop system and issue water meters for properties in 5W when construction of the transmission line and reservoir associated with the master plan infrastructure has commenced. Commencement of construction shall require obtaining any needed construction permits and beginning actual excavation work to install the master plan infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement?
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. So will you be actually, is this going to create an entire new block?
You know, I guess when the legal description is created, I guess they'll look into that. But, you know, I'm not totally sure how a block is created or extended.
Okay.
I guess if you're aware of any procedures or policy or method to do that, let me know.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out if the if I need to run. I didn't run contextual standards for this yet.
Oh, okay.
So I might need to. So I'll do it. I'll need to do a little bit further research.
Okay.
On this, and we can address it offline. Okay. But just know I might have to run the contextual.
I see. Okay.
And also VPO2 and CPO12 standards apply.
Right.
Sorry, okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. The MTP 2040 showed a multi-purpose trail on Woodmont, but it looks like it's already constructed up to that property line. So we have no additional comments and no objection to the request.
Okay,
thank you. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. An approved conceptual grading and drainage plan is required. Please provide the grading and drainage plan to a MAFCA. MAFCA approval of grading and drainage may be required.
Okay, thanks, Ernest.
Transportation.
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Provide roadway cross sections for all proposed streets prior to platting approval. All roadway infrastructure shall be shown on infrastructure list, and a work order will be required to build these improvements. I did have a question about whether or not there are any proposed roadway tie-ins to Tract G.
You know, I'm not sure, but I'll clarify that for you just to make sure.
And one of the reasons why I asked is because it looks like you have some dead end streets there. So with that, you know, with any, you know, dead ends proposed, provide justification for these per the IDO requirements. I think it's section 5.3e. And also the length of South Sky Street exceeds the maximum threshold of 150 feet for a dead end street without having a turn around. And then meet with transportation separately regarding TIS requirements for the overall Valle del Prado.
Oh, okay. I'll do that. Thanks, Jean.
Okay, planning?
Planning would back up the comments that code enforcement made regarding overlay zones. And then the other thing for this project is section 14.16.5.2, avoidance of sensitive lands. So we will need a sensitive lands analysis of this site to determine how to address rock outcropping, steep slopes, those arroyos. And again, you can circle back with planning if you have additional questions on how to make that happen.
Okay. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Archuleta?
Madam Chair, at this time I don't. Thanks for the
okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me check back. We moved item 8 to the end of the agenda. Item 8 is project 2020-3918, sketch plat 2020-52 for Strata Design or John or Jasmine Pitcher. Is anyone here for that application? Okay.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I repeatedly called the agent, Michelle Negrete, and the applicants, John and Jasmine Pitcher, and I was not successful in reaching either one of them. And I emailed them as well, and I haven't gotten a reply, so.
Okay. I'll take a motion to defer item number 8 to June 17th.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec. I move to defer item number 8 on this agenda to June 17th.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Thank you. Let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, approves.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, approves.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approves.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approves.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to move or to defer item number 8 to June 17th, 2020. Okay, the last item would be to approve our action sheet minutes from June 3rd. I'll entertain a motion.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Recreation. I move to approve the action sheet minutes from June 3rd.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Thank you. Let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, approves.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approves.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approves.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote to approve the action sheet minutes from June 3rd, 2020. Thank you, everyone. We adjourn at 11:49.